Well, good morning and happy Easter, Fields Church. We're so glad that you're here. We're glad everyone is here. We are so glad, Charleston, you guys are there. Have an amazing Easter service. And we are the Fields Church. I'm telling you what, it's all of us. We are one church. We might be in different rooms. We might be in different towns. You might be watching this later online, but we are all in this together trying to live a life that not just honors God, but we experience life to the full. In this Easter that you're here and you're a part of this, I want you to know we are here to celebrate who God is and what God's done in our life. And we want you, I want you to experience life today. And we are so glad you're here. When you came in today, you received your info card, and we do something on Easter. We got this little Easter tradition, whether it's your first time ever at the Fields or your first Easter here at the Fields, or you've been here several years, we do this little Easter tradition called an Easter survey. It's actually on your info card, so if you want to get your info card out, take a look at that. We have some questions that we ask on Easter. Here's the trick. It's that one week that we all get you. We just get all of you in the same room at the same time. That's why we do it on Easter, because I just know a lot of people are going to be able to give us some feedback, some insight, help us help you. And so when you answer some of these questions, I take a look at these, and we look at months out and say, you know we want to hear from everyone and help everyone grow closer to God. And that's why we take a spiritual survey. So if you got a piece, you got your info card, you got a pen, we're going to take a look at this. Question number one is this: I'd like to hear a message on what the Bible says about, and then there's a lot of options. What are you wanting to know from the Bible? What are some things that you're needing to know, how the Bible presents it in a very relevant way for us to live it out in life? I want to know what you guys are needing. I need to know that because I want to look ahead in months to come and say, this was a common answer. And so I'm going to be listening to you guys. And that's why I want you guys to have an opportunity to write that down. Question number two is this: I'm interested in hearing more about these themes. These are areas of life that you deal with on a day in and day out basis. These are things that you're wondering, I got to live this out. And I want to live it out the way God wants me to live it out. So I want to teach God's word to you about things that you live out on a regular basis. So some of these themes, whether it's just family or money and miracles, you know, justice, things like that, what God's word says about those things. So go ahead and mark one or two of those to let us know what your top ones are. And then the third question is the next step in my spiritual journey. This is you kind of letting us know and even asking yourself, like, where am I at in my spiritual journey? And maybe you're ready to take a step. Maybe you've never been a part of a group. Well, we would want you to be a part of a group. Groups are going to begin in summer, and we're excited about that. And maybe you need to serve on a team. Maybe you're at a place where you've been here at the Fields, and it's time for you to jump in and be on one of our dream teams. Maybe you're ready to get baptized in water. Maybe you've been following Jesus. You got this brand new relationship with Jesus, and you're ready to express yourself through water baptism, something that's taking place on the inside, and you're wanting that. So that's what you would mark down. And so that helps us know to help you take your next step if you can identify what you think maybe your next step is. Now, what I want you to do is just hold on to this card, okay? We're going to come back to this card at the end of my teaching. So don't just tuck this away and forget about it. We will come back to the card. So just hold on to that for now. But right now, let's talk a little bit about Easter. How's your weekend doing? How is Easter weekend? Some of you guys work on Easter. Some of you guys didn't have to work during the weekend. Some kids have got some special days off or school, all that stuff. How's Easter weekend? I hope you're having a great weekend. When it comes to the church calendar of Easter weekend, you can take it all the way back a week ago, but then things begin to ramp up and you see it on the news and you start seeing other churches all around the world having a lot of different celebrations. And the big one is just on Friday, and it's called Good Friday. And Good Friday is really almost kind of a bad Friday because it was the day that Jesus was killed on the cross. That was a day of torture. That was a day of torment. That was a day of pain. Friday was hard. Friday was a day of misery. But then we come to Sunday today celebrating Easter, and the pain is gone because the resurrection, the new life, Jesus is alive. And so the entire weekend of thinking about Easter goes from the death of Jesus to now we celebrate today the life of Jesus and what he has to offer. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. A lot of us are living in the Friday of Easter where we think that things are just dying and dead in our life. We think that there's a dead end in front of us and we don't have hope for tomorrow. You're going through trials. You're going through a little bit of your own torment. You're having some problems in your life. And we're living in the Friday of Easter. God wants you to live in the Sunday of Easter. He wants you to get through the pain and see that there's a better day ahead of you. And God wants you to understand the celebration. He wants you to understand that Sunday, today, Easter is about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. That he's alive, that he's victory. He's brought in victory over death. Today is a day to celebrate. And I know that's why you're here today, but I want you to know that's what the weekend is all about. And then when it comes to the Fields Church, you being here today, we've been praying that you would be here today. We want you to experience a life-giving church here at the Fields. We want you to know the reason that we come every Sunday is to help you offer and experience life in a brand new way through who Jesus is and how Jesus interacts with us. That might be completely new to you today, that you can interact with Jesus or you can have a life that's beyond what you're living right now. I'm telling you, the reason we exist is to help people experience life to the fullest through Jesus. And we have tons of stories. If you're new with us, there's tons of individuals sitting around you that have experienced a life-giving message of hope in their life, and it's changed their life. It's completely turned it around. In fact, I would love for you guys to meet one of those people where God just got a hold of her life. I want you to see it. Her name's Amber. I want you to see this story. So why don't you focus in right now on the screens and watch Amber in her story.
My life first started when I was 6 years old, and there was a church van that went down my trailer court every Sunday, and I finally got to talk my mom into letting me go to church because my family is not a big church people, you know, and I fell in love as soon as I went. When I was 10, 11 years old, I decided to get baptized. Then when I was about 12 years old, 13, I got taken away from my mom in foster care. I felt like God kind of disappeared from my life at one point. So I really kind of faded away from my faith for a long time. When I was in foster care, I was in like 8 different homes from the age of 12 to 18. When I was in foster care, I turned to marijuana. I didn't know. I had a lot of stuff going on in my life, personal, and I didn't know how to deal with my emotions. I didn't know how to cope, and so I used marijuana to cope, especially since I've gotten pregnant and I wanted to become the person I've always wanted to be, and I know marijuana is not a part of who I'm supposed to be. I feel like the Fields Church has really helped me overcome that. To show that just because I smoke marijuana doesn't mean I'm a bad person, but you guys are here to support me through my struggle. And once I told a few people that I knew in the Fields Church that I actually was off marijuana and I was struggling to cope because I didn't know how to cope with stuff without, you know, smoking and getting rid of it, you know. Misty, she reached out to me, and she's kind of like my church mom. Mm-hmm. She supported me a lot and has helped me through that struggle. It made me feel more like a family instead of just a church, you know. So I feel like the Fields has brought me more family and love than I could probably ever think of. So, but I felt like Girl Track really impacted me to show me that there's people like me. I'm not the only one struggling with something that has grabbed me instead of Jesus. Show me where I was supposed to be in the church and who I am, who I'm going to be. It really built my faith more than I thought it would, truthfully. If I wouldn't have been in Girl Track, I would probably be pregnant and still addicted to marijuana, getting DCFS involved, which I don't want at all, because I've lived with it my whole life. But it really opened my eyes to show me that people care about my struggle and I'm not alone. And everybody should know that they're not alone, that somebody out there cares. It's nice to know that people in the church actually care for me. So there's a few ladies that have actually reached out and made sure that I'm doing okay and asked me how my week's going. And so it's just really nice to know that it's a family and not just a church.
So we want you to experience that kind of life. We want you to experience the community of church and being a life-giving church. We love the fact that you're here today, and we love the fact that together we can all celebrate life. And that's what Easter is about. Death to life. Things that were dead come back to life. Ourselves, there's parts of us that literally are kind of dying on the inside. And you might be sitting there today going, I just don't feel right on the inside. And I want you to know God wants to breathe life into you today. The story of Easter is powerful. Today, I want you to know this. If we get anything today, when God shows up, people experience life. I'm telling you. When God shows up, things change. When God shows up, things that were dead can come back to life. I want you to know when sometimes that we feel empty, sometimes we feel all dried up, and sometimes we even feel dead on the inside. When God shows up, He'll deal with the emptiness. He'll deal with us feeling all dry. And He'll deal with the death and bring us life. In fact, I want to teach that today. I want to take you through a journey of Scripture. I'm going to be your tour guide today, showing you that God can deal with the emptiness and things that are dry and things that are dead. Check this out. At the very beginning of time, when God began to create the world, it says this in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So this is the creation story. The earth was formless and empty. Okay, just imagine nothing. Formless and empty. And darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God says, "Let there be." And the next thing you know, this the creation story, the beautiful creation story. There was day and sky and land and vegetation was springing up. There were stars and sun and moon out of nothing, out of emptiness. And then all of a sudden, God creates the creatures in the sea, the birds in the air. And then there's the day that He creates all of the animals and then all of humanity, you and I, out of nothing. It was empty, formless, and dark with no life. And when God says, "Let there be," all of a sudden, all of this come into existence. That's the beauty of God. Things that seem empty, God can breathe into. And the next thing you know, things are growing. If you've been looking at the trees, you're looking at your grass, you've been mowing, like maybe you started to mow already. It's because finally things are back to life. And that's the story of God. And we see it all the way to the beginning of creation, where there is things that were empty. God says, I'm going to fill it, and I'm going to fill it with life. Maybe you're feeling a little empty on the inside today. God wants to fill you with life. Let's fast forward a little bit. About 550 years before Jesus was born, Israel was going through a tough time. God's people were a mess, and they drifted away from God, and they weren't close to him at all. And all of a sudden, God calls up this prophet. His name is Ezekiel. It's probably a book in the Old Testament you've not flipped over to and read. And there's a prophet named Ezekiel that hears from God, and he sees a vision from God that God says, this is how I'm going to be able to help the people. And what was happening was the people were just dried up and they were empty. In fact, this is what he says. This is the vision he got. He says, the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. And he led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the grounds, and they were completely dried out. Dried bones covering this valley floor. Can you imagine the Lord kind of taking you to this vision and seeing this area, this desolate, just this empty area of this valley, and everywhere there's dried, dead bones. That's what Ezekiel sees. And he goes on and says this, I will put flesh and muscles, and you will cover them with skin, and I will put breath into you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise. Imagine all these bones coming together, and they started to shake, and they started to move, and they were rattling like dead, dry bones, a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together, and they attached themselves as complete Let's keep going and look at that. As these skeletons, and they watched, and these muscles and the flesh formed over the bones, and the skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. So all of the bones started to come and move, and next thing you know, the muscles and the flesh and everything was being put together. They went from dead nothing to now, you know, muscles and skin and flesh, and these bodies were forming, but still no breath, still no life. And he says this, I'm going to breathe into these dead bodies, and they will live again. God says, I'm going to breathe into these dead bodies, and they're going to come back to life. And what he says, they all came to life when he breathed into them. See, this is a vision of a dead group of people called the Israelites. God's people, they were dead and dried up on the inside, spiritually dead, dry. And so God says, here's how I'm going to show you a picture of these dry bones. Now, I got a dog, her name's Mocha, and she hangs out in the backyard a lot. And like any old dog, dogs like bones. And so you know what I did? I went in the backyard and I got some of her bones, and I got a couple of her, these are what she chews on. Went to Rule King, you know, like several months ago, and got her some good bones to chew on. And these old bones, these bones, they've been laying in the yard. And these are so dry, she don't even like them anymore. These aren't good bones. I got a dog that doesn't even chew these bones because there's nothing left on them. No flavor, no scent, no meat, no nothing, just dead, dry bones. Can you imagine the rattle? Can you imagine the rattling noise when God says, I'm going to bring these things back to life? And I look at these bones, I go, if my dog doesn't even like these bones, they're kind of worthless. They got nothing left in them. The dog just walks right past these bones and says, I don't want nothing to do with those bones. There's no value to those bones. The dog won't even chew on those bones. And Ezekiel is looking at these dry bones, and God is saying, these are my people, and they're so dried up. And he says, but it's okay, because Israel can be restored. Their hearts can be restored. Life can come back into them. They thought they were dead and dried up, but God says, I'll breathe into them. I just wonder how many of us on Easter today thought we're coming to a holiday service, and yet we realize deep down inside we're very dry. We're very dry on the inside. And God wants to breathe life into you, which then gets us to the Easter story, where Jesus then, fast forward to 2,000 years ago, and Jesus now is coming. He's the Son of God, and his whole purpose is to come into the world so he can die so we can live. You know, I said Friday was about the death. Friday was about the torture. Friday was about the cross. So what happens is Jesus gets arrested. He's beaten. He's mocked. And then they lead him to the cross. Now, the most fascinating thing about the cross is it was called the Golgotha. This is what the place was called, Golgotha, and it means the place of the skull. Now, theologians have kind of wrestled with this. Why is it called the place of the skull? Was it because the rock formation in that area actually looked like a big skull? Or was it because this is where they took all the criminals to be killed and crucified? And literally, there would have been bones because these guys were not getting proper burials. These bodies were just being tossed to the side. Either way, the place was known as the place of the skull, the place of death, the place of just a bone. And that's where Jesus goes. And that's where they take him to kill him. That's where he gives his life. When it comes to this, I want us to take a look at Luke. He tells us a story about this. Jesus is up on the cross. He's already been beaten. He's bloodied. He's a complete mess. And he's breathing his last breaths on that cross. It says this, Luke records this. Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, Jesus breathed his last. Jesus is dead. At the place of the skull, Jesus is laying there, hanging there, lifeless and dead. So what do? They take him down from the cross, and they continue to talk about this. They took the body down from the cross, and they wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth, and they laid it in a tomb. Okay, he's sealed in this tomb. Because he's dead and lifeless. And his body is just now a body without any life in it. And they've put him in a tomb that had been carved out of rock. He is dead. And that's where they leave him. They bury him and they place him in the tomb. And most of the people in the area is like, Jesus is dead. He was this 3-year kind of a hero and fascinating, and people are wondering, he's such a good teacher and such a good rabbi, and the disciples would have been following him, but now he is dead and buried in the tomb. Now Mary Magdalene and the other Mary go, and they want to give him a proper burial, so then the next day on Sunday morning, they get up very early to go present and take care of his body the way that they would with a proper burial. I want us to take a look at this. Early on Sunday morning, it's a new day. As the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone. He sat on it. This angel sat sitting up on this stone. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. Now these Roman guards, the guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. They just fainted because of the supernatural activity and these angels coming down. And next thing you know, these big buff Roman soldiers just faint out of fear. angel spoke to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Jesus was killed. Jesus is dead." And then he says this, "He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said he would. He was dead, but now he's alive." Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome, church? Jesus was crucified and he was dead, but now he's alive. He's alive. And when God gets involved, anything is possible. When God gets involved, anything can happen. I'm telling you, where the Spirit of God is, whether there's emptiness, lifelessness, death on the inside, God can come in and breathe life. He can breathe hope. He can help in ways that you never knew was possible. Listen, that's where I was at. When I was in high school, I was spiritually dead. I was empty on the inside. You talk about in Genesis and in the beginning of creation, everything was just empty and dark and formless. That was my life in high school, just completely empty. You talk about the dead, dry bones of Ezekiel. That was my life, was just this dry, just nothing living on the inside. That's where I was at in high school. You talk about Jesus being crucified and put into a tomb because he was dead. Everything on the inside of me was just dead until I met God. Until I was in a very special service just like this, and I was sitting just a few rows back, and there was a speaker just like this talking and teaching out of the Bible, and all I know is something was beating on the inside, and God was telling me, "This is for you. This is for you, Travis. This is for you." I can remember it. I can remember it. I was a junior in high school, and I was sitting there going, "Man, God is trying to get my attention right now. Things that were empty are now being filled. Things that were dead is being brought back to life. Things that felt just dark and dry, all of a sudden I just feel like God's Spirit's coming into my life, and there's this new sense of life." I was a junior in high school heading the wrong direction, and God gets a hold of me in a special service that I realize God wants to take things that are empty and dry and bring life into them. That's who God is. God can change your life today. That's the power of Easter. That's the story of Jesus being raised from the dead. Paul's trying to teach this in the book of Ephesus to this young church. He's saying, "Listen, the power of God is for you. The power of God is for you today. The power of God is for us that's listening to this." This is what he says. He says, "I also pray that you will understand," listen to this, "the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." Paul is trying to tell the people, the same power that raised Jesus from death to life is the same power that can work in your life today. That's what we need to hear today. You're not too far. You haven't done too much sin and whatever, the mess that we've made in our lives. You've not gone too far. The power that brought Jesus out of a tomb is the power that can bring you out of a past into a beautiful future. You can have a great life in Jesus. And you're not here by accident today. Listen, you're not here by accident. You're here on an Easter weekend celebrating because God wants to get a hold of us. Maybe you feel empty today. Maybe you feel like that formless, empty, dark, nothing's happening before creation. You're just feeling like something is really empty. God wants to breathe life into you. Just like God said, "Let there be," and there was. He's looking at you today going, "Let there be. Let there be life." Just like there were dead, dry bones all across the valley, and all of a sudden God breathed life into those bones and they started to come back to life. God wants to breathe life into you. Maybe you feel very dry on the inside. He wants to breathe life into you again. And just like Jesus was raised from the dead, He wants to look at you and say, you can, your old life can be gone and you can be born again. The Spirit of God can breathe life into you and you can be born again as a son and a daughter into Jesus' family. Listen, God is speaking to you right now. He's speaking to you about your spiritual life. It doesn't have to be empty. It doesn't have to be full of darkness. It doesn't have to be formless. It doesn't have to be dry. And it definitely doesn't have to be dead. And if you're experiencing any of that this morning, I want you to know God says, wherever I am at, all things are possible. God can breathe life into you. He can speak to you right now about where you're at. He wants you to have a relationship with him. Listen, Jesus came and died on the cross so all of us have opportunity to live for him. He just wants to have a relationship with you. He says, I'm inviting you into the greatest relationship there is. And all we have to do is follow Jesus. Say goodbye to the old life and hello to the new life. It's a life with Jesus who he gives us life. You can have that this Easter. You can have that. In fact, I want you to take your survey card back out. Take it out. Take out your survey card. And at the very bottom of the right side, you're going to see something that says A, B, C, and D. And you're listening to this message today and you're wondering, like, what is this all about? This life that I can have. I want you to know right now you can invite Jesus into your life. And you become what we call a Christian. You're following Jesus. You're surrendering life to him. Now on this survey card, A would be this. I want everyone in the room today, everyone listening, everyone watching this online, everyone in Charleston, everyone to have your card out. And if today, if you are already in a relationship with Jesus, then I want you to circle A. If you are already in a real relationship with Jesus, then circle A. If today you are beginning a real relationship with Jesus, I want you to circle B. Just circle B. You're saying, today I'm ready to begin a real relationship with Jesus. Circle B. If you're like, I don't know, this is kind of new to me. I'm not sure about all this yet. This coming to the fields on Easter, it's just a little new. Maybe you need a circle C. C is, I'd like to consider it a little bit more. That's okay. We're not pushing anything down anybody's throat. If you're like, I need a little bit more time to consider it, then circle C. That means you're ready to consider it. And there might be some of us in the room today, you might be watching today, and you're ready to mark D because what you're at, you're saying, I don't ever intend on making that decision. I don't intend on being a Christian. I'm going to circle D. I want you to be super honest with us because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people who circle D and we pray and God works in your life and D's become C's and eventually C's become B's and the next thing you know, people are living for Jesus and one day they said, that'll never happen. So go ahead and mark that down if that's you. And here's how I want to close is anybody, look at your card and if you've circled B today, and you're saying, today I am beginning a real relationship with Jesus. I want to pray for you. Because I believe it's the greatest decision that you could have ever made is today deciding to believe in Jesus and create that relationship. If you would right now, would you bow your heads with me? And we want to pray. Jesus, I pray for everyone who's circled B, everyone who's beginning a real relationship with you. I pray, God, that today that we are creating a new sense of relationship with you, God, and you're going to take us into the future. Help us to surrender our old life and begin to embrace a new life with you. We trust you. God, I pray that you would breathe life into us today. Thanks, God, for all that you're doing in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.